Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you. Oh, the Lord, our Sabbath. What a blessing it is to be here with you on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. And I hope that you are enjoying your rest in the Lord. And I am elated to be here for the first premier podcast broadcast for the Heavenly Host in the year 2022. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I hope that you will be blessed by this exhortation, and I certainly hope that this message, this declaration, finds you well. And I'm excited to minister this exhortation as we are moving into, we have moved into a new equinox where we are celebrating, I am celebrating the light. The greater light. And I tell you, I'm excited about the sun, how it's given, it's extended itself, herself to us, giving us greater light as we move into the spring season. And that's always good. So that really is in line with the astrological Levitical calendar of Adar, where it celebrates the light. And that light shines from our Heavenly Father in heaven. The light shines from Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, who has shined his heart and his love in our lives as well as in our hearts. So I hope today you have received Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, and that truly his love, God's love, is shining bright in your heart and manifesting all of the wonderful attributes and fruit of what love does. So I am your hostess, Lise Marie, foundress and of Bride of Christ Women's Ministries. And I'm excited to share this portion and part of February's offering, where I'm celebrating the smicha of true love. And I'm really excited about what the Lord has given me today to minister to you and declare to you as it relates to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that he was reminding me of is when he saved me and cleansed me and washed me and redeemed my soul from hell, from being lost forever in eternity. He reminded me that I was reconciled with him by way of the ministry of reconciliation. So I'm excited to minister this message to you, and I hope it finds you, and I hope that your heart will be pricked and your heart would burn with the love of God. And if you don't know the Lord and pardon your sins, that you will take this time and the time to ask him to come in. But before I minister the exhortation, I want to share the foundational scripture for the Heavenly Host broadcast for today. And I'm really excited about that because, again, I created and birthed the Heavenly Host broadcast to give you understanding of the beautiful, awesome workings of the galaxies, of the universe, of the celestial hierarchies, of the angels, and the Lord himself, who is hosting us in the earth realm. So the Lord of hosts, who is Christ Jesus, who redeemed the earth, recuperated the earth, brought equilibrium and healing and wholeness and harmony by way of his presence, by way of healing. I'm so excited to declare this. And one of the things that he was reminding me of about the heavenly hosts is that they are ready, the angels, celestial hierarchies are ready to help us. There are angelic assistance that is given to us in communicating with Father God, communicating with heaven. And Jesus, being our high priest and our mediator between God and man, he is the one that makes sure that the heaven stays open. Hallelujah. And so we must remember that now the veil has been ripped. We can enter in any time. Heaven is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Lord hears our cry when we cry unto him now that we have adoption and now that we are called by his name. And the thing that I love about heaven and the angelic host is that they will do and is doing vigilantly and violently on our behalf. And I love that because a lot of times, oftentimes, especially in these times, evil is present. And that's what Paul said, when I desire to do good, evil is always present. But we have an angelic host, the Lord's army, the Lord himself that's fighting for us. And it's really important to understand what the roles of what the angels are and understand who are your angels, who are the angels, and what angels are assigned to you. And coming to know about the universe, communicating with the universe, knowing its language, knowing my covenant with God, how my divine plumb line is always there to assist me by way of the angels to ascend before the throne. It's a wonderful thing. And so I wanted to give you Revelation 19, chapter 11 through the 16 verse. And this is where the Apostle Paul spoke of what he saw when he was on the island of Patmos. And this scripture declares Jesus and his angels that are present before the throne in the holy city, in the New Jerusalem, fighting for us. And this is what he says in the 11th verse. He says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness did he judge and make war. So Jesus being and the angels being our battle, being our fighters for us, being our battle axe, being my battle axe, being my husband, man, he only fights and judge according to what's true. And we must remember that our warfare of our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God in pulling down strongholds. So although we see these things happening in the flesh, in the natural, my warfare and his warfare is according to what's according to righteousness, not evil. Now, the 12th verse says, his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew it but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth he goeth a sharp sword, that with it it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress of his fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. So Jesus, who was crucified on the cross, is now the resurrected warrior. Hallelujah. He is coming for vengeance, with the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God, to do justice on my behalf and do justice on your behalf. And again, he says on his thigh was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And it says, and he was called the Word of God. And that's exactly what the Lord is coming back as the Word of God. And I want to just declare this and read this to you, because this is exactly what he's doing in this hour. He's fighting for me. He's fighting for you. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is yield to him and allow him to prove himself on our behalf. Hallelujah. And to show himself strong on our behalf. So I'm so glad I had a chance to read that, because, again, the Lord's armies are 10,000, and all we have to do is call upon those armies and invoke the presence of the Lord, invoke the angels, and they will do what they're supposed to do. Hallelujah. And I bless the Lord for that. And you must remember that, again, he is our Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. And so that's what the Lord is saying today, is that his armies are ready, and they're doing battles for us in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And so you can trust and know that as we engage in the good fight of faith, we do so by intercession of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, which is Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm really excited to get into this message, because what he was saying to me is that when you have truly been reconciled with Father God by Jesus Christ, the blessing of the ministry of reconciliation will be healing. And a thing that we must remember in healing is that anything that we do, either we are healing the earth, we're being a facilitator of healing to people, or we are you are killing a thing or destroying it. There's just no two ways about it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, the thief cometh only but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you have life and that more abundantly. So walking in the newness of life, having the ministry of reconciliation, whereby I minister the gospel in my life, being a living epistle, being a vessel of God, is to speak life and to give Jesus and preach Jesus, so that they can come into and you can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ by his blood. And so 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th through the 21st verse, is a scripture that I wanted to read to you, because this is exactly what Paul declared his ministry was. And I love that, because in this time, as Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And now more than ever do the earth and the world need to be healed And that healing is only going to take place by those who are pure in heart, those who have a life within them, those whose deeds are good and manifest the fruit of it. Okay, the fruit of it. And 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th through the 21st verse, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So the ministry that I have, the ministry that every believer who confesses Christ, who is commissioned to preach the gospel, have the ministry of reconciliation. Because Jesus said, I didn't come I didn't call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. And the only way you can have a ministry of reconciliation if you are what? Born again. And that's why he declared in the 17th verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, the man who gave his life, the man who shed his blood, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so I could not preach the gospel and would not preach the gospel being in my flesh if I was not born again of the water and the spirit, because how can I testify and be a witness of something that I have not experienced? So the ministry of reconciliation is based on being reconciled ourselves back to God by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 19, he says, to wit, that God was in Christ. God came down and came in the form of man, in the form of sonship, which was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And the world represents what? Everything he created. The world. God so loved the world that he created, he gave his only begotten son. He wanted to reconcile the world back unto himself because he created it. And he says, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he was saying, I'm not holding your sins against you because I sent my son. I came down in image and likeness of sinful flesh, in sinful flesh, to in sonship to forgive you of your sins, reconcile you back to me by the word of reconciliation, which is the word of what? Forgiveness. By what? The preaching of the gospel, that Jesus died for your sins. He was buried for your sins, and he was resurrected for your sins. And so that's the word that we preach as believers, as sheep of his pastures, as sheep of his pasture, shall I say. Now, verse 20, he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteous of God in him. So everything that Jesus did, God did, shall I say, coming in Christ's stead, everything Paul was saying that he suffered was for us to be reconciled. Because he that knew no sin became sin, that we might be the righteous of God in him. So that means I cannot preach the gospel, and I would not preach the gospel in my own righteousness, because I didn't die for anyone. I didn't die for your sins. Jesus did. And I only have a witness and a testimony of what Jesus did being alive in Christ now because of what he did. And so he was saying, be reconciled to God because of what he did for you. And the thing that I love about what the Lord was saying to me is that, again, the ministry of reconciliation is revealed in the light, which is in us, which is deposited in us by way of the Holy Spirit. And that light, again, shines through our hearts by love, by what Jesus did. not just by the gifts of the Spirit and our gifts and talents that's manifested by the blessings that we receive. It is by the love of Christ that transformed us, that renewed us, that took us from death to life, where now we have new life, and those old behaviors, those old contracts, that death that once reigned over us has been disannulled. It's been canceled. Because Jesus saved us and saved me from my sins. I mean, literally from my sins. Because I would have died in my sins had not he saved me, had I wanted to be saved. So that's important for you to know. So reconciliation cannot come by prosperity. Reconciliation cannot come by man. Man can be a conduit, a witness to lead us to Christ. Man, a woman can be an example, but those things cannot save us. They cannot reconcile us to God. And that's why Jesus often preached and rebuked and said, if any man climb up any other way, he's a robber and a thief. We have to come by way of the sheep coat, by way of repenting of our sins, dying from our sins, turning from our sins, and staying clean and delivered from our sins. So I wanted to say that because many people think that because they know Pastor so-and-so, know Bishop so-and-so, that, you know, and who they connected to, that they're going to make it to heaven. No, you're not. If Jesus has not had or does not know you personally, you have not confessed your sins, your name is written in the book of life, and he has confessed you for the Father, I'm sorry to say, you won't be going to heaven. Now, I wanted to include 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, because in the previous chapter, in the 4th chapter, the first or third verse, he was saying that, seeing for, therefore, we have this ministry, we have received mercy. Hallelujah. We have received mercy. And the reason why he said we receive mercy, because it was not given by high-mindedness. It was by his mercies that we were not consumed. And because we receive mercy, we faint not. Because his grace, his mercy, that we're able to minister the ministry of reconciliation because of his grace and his mercy for keeping us, even now. And he said, we faint not. And verse 2, he says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. So that means now that we have the ministry of reconciliation, we don't manifest the things and work the things that we used to do when we weren't saved. And he had to say this to the church of Corinth because that's exactly what they were doing. You're operating from witchcraft, sorcery, operate out of the flesh. And that was a contradiction of what Jesus did. He said, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, using the word of God to bait people in just so they can come to you. Craftiness, using your own tactics and maneuvers to try to convince someone that you're saved and you have God when your deeds and actions say contrary. And you must remember, Corinthians was a carnal church, fleshly carnal church, and he always had to rebuke them. He said, but by manifestation of the truth of what Jesus did, the truth about who you are. And that's the thing about where many of us are or are not. We are at different phases and stages in our life. And whatever stage and age you are, you know, God can use you. And we have a testimony. And so the thing about the manifesting of the truth is being honest about where you are, not where you want to be or trying to be a wannabe, but allowing perfect work of patience to have a perfect work. And so many believers or babes in Christ want to grow up so fast. They use the word of God and the word of truth to try to quicken what they want to see, but it doesn't happen like that. We grow in grace in a little, in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we must be honest and truthful about where we are. And if you need deliverance from something, you know, wait on that deliverance, because the most important thing is that you produce fruit, good fruit, and that you get delivered and stay delivered. So I wanted to say that. He says what? Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Again, I might be the only epistle, the Bible, someone may ever see. Commending every man to his own conscience in the sight of God. That means you can't try to condemn somebody based on what you see and what you feel they ought to be doing. Commend them to their own conscience. So if my conscience don't bother me, and I don't feel guilty by things that I'm doing, you can't convict me and condemn me. But he said, therefore, is there no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Committed to their own conscience. Not to ours, which would be mind control and mind altering spirits, but that's another message. In the sight of God. So that's the whole thing, is to sort of to have a clear conscience and a pure heart in serving God. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is to hid to those who are lost. Now, the thing that I love about what the Lord was saying is that in Paul writing to this church, the house of God, he was saying that the only way that the reconciliation can happen, we can be reconciled, the lost will be reconciled, he says, by the anointing. And the anointing destroys the yoke. And he was saying that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I was blessing him for this, because he was saying that that how good and pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's the thing that he was another thing he was saying and giving me this message. It's not only must we be committed to the ministry of reconciliation as believers and ministering healing to those who are lost, is that we also must have the spirit of unity. And that only can be if our hearts is knitted together in love by Christ Jesus. Again, love is the operative word, is the key word. Because everything God did, he did by love. Everything Jesus did, he did by love. And so I wanted to include Psalms 133. And this is what the psalmist says. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I really got excited about that, because he said that's exactly what he's doing. He's releasing a new anointing upon the brethren, upon our sisters, upon the body of Christ, upon those who he's called as leaders in this time. Hallelujah. And he said this anointing will be the thing that will bind us together in unity in Christ Jesus. And he was saying that it is going to run down, as he says in the next verse, that went down to the skirts of his garment, hallelujah, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, hallelujah. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore, hallelujah. And so when he gave me this, he said, this is a time of elevation, promotion. He said, promotion come not from the east, nor from the west, but promotion comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, as he said in verse 2, this anointing is going to go all the way down to the skirts of his garment. And I was praising him, because that's exactly, again, what he said about the adornment. So he was taking me back to that word, what he was saying, that the adornment 22 is coming, a new anointing. A new mantle, hallelujah! Coming a new officers, new members of the body of Christ, new leaders that he's raising up. And these are those, hallelujah, who will be able to speak and command the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I'm that person. Hallelujah. And I tell you, before I got on air, I was commanded the blessing of the Lord upon my household, upon my family, my children, my grandchildren. I mean, the anointing was just so heavy as I was praising and worshiping this morning and in prayer and before the throne. I felt that anointing just heavy and thick. And I was just blessing him and praising him for a crown in me. I saw a crown. He was putting a crown upon my head. And that's exactly what he's saying. That he will be with us even to the uttermost parts of the world. So this adornment, this anointing, this mantle, is going to bring together not just those in the body of Christ, but it will bring together nations. And he said, yes, the lion and the lamb will dwell together. Only by love, by unity, can the lion and the lamb lay together. Most certainly. Hallelujah. So I tell you, I'm really excited about what the Lord has said and given me this, and I thank the Lord for the ministry of reconciliation, because I tell you, it was by the ministry of reconciliation that I am now one with Christ Jesus. And the most important thing about receiving the ministry of reconciliation, when you have it ministered to you by the gospel, by a true witness and by a true minister, is that it's the binding agent. That word will bind you to Christ and by the love of God, by the heart of the sacred heart of Christ, by the sacred heart of Mary, and by God's love. And I tell you, in that being new, I stay new. I stay refreshed by repentance, by confession, by prayer, by his mercy, by his grace, by submission, humbling myself. Submitting myself to God and remaining humble. And I thank God for that. So I pray that you will receive the ministry of reconciliation by way of Jesus Christ, because, again, he is the one who came to, who died for your sins, came to redeem you from your sins, to save you from this wicked and untoward generation, and to save you from yourself. And I pray that the ministry of reconciliation will always work in every area of your life, because in the ministry of reconciliation, he reconciled all things unto himself. That means prosperity, healing, family, love, everything. Everything's new. And so I pray that if there's anything that you are struggling with, anything you need deliverance with, that will be a hindrance to you or be a stumbling block to someone else, I pray that you'll get delivered, because the last thing we want to do is be a stumbling block to our sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus or be an offense to anyone because of pride or ego or handling the word of God deceitfully. Because a lot of people who come to Christ, they never really renounce those things that they operated from before they came to Christ. So they still have ties to secret things, secret faults, secret sins, things that are not of Christ and his kingdom and his glory and his throne. So those things have to be renounced. Those things have to be released so that the fullness of the Godhead bodily and his glory can be seen in you, in your life, and someone can be delivered and set free. Most certainly God can use us. Whatever stage we're at, but, you know, he wants total deliverance. He wants total deliverance. He wants it all. He wants it all. And you can walk in the newness of life. You can be free because Jesus set you free. And not only free, but cleansed. And so now you are cleansed of the words that I have spoken to you. So I pray for healing in every area of your life. Healing of your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, healing in your finances, healing in your family. And I pray the unity and the healing of anything that you need in your life, that God will heal it, heal you, heal your heart, heal your family, heal your children. And I pray that he will always cause his face to shine upon you, and keep you in all your ways. Thank you so much for joining your hostess. I'm going to sign off, and I definitely will be back later in the week for more of February's offering, and I hope to speak with you then. Until then, stay blessed, stay in the love of God, and stay in love.